All right, Steve and Wade here, Sports and Stripes. We're getting into the middle of January now, and it's divisional playoffs, bud.
Yeah.
We all watched the wild card games last weekend, and what were you thinking when we were watching the games? The Tennessee-Kansas City game, start with that one.
That was just awful. I mean, we all went back on the Chiefs bandwagon. They closed out the season with one win after another. We sit here and say that Tennessee aren't a playoff team. And then Kansas City jump out ahead, and I'm sitting there going, oh, 21-3, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
I think a lot of people were thinking that. It wasn't a pretty game, but it was an ugly, it's over, yeah.
But, I mean, the Chiefs, in the second half, they moved away from Kareem Hunt. The play call
Tennessee had a really good run defense. That's the only thing they got, is they were really stopping. They hit 11 attempts, and they just couldn't get anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. For me, I just think you just keep on hammering away at it. I mean, I know Mariota obviously had that play, one of those crazy plays where he throws the ball, it comes back to him, and he's actually getting the end zone. The only concern was whether or not he was actually past the line of scrimmage, but it was a good play. And then with that, you just felt like Kansas City were looking at this game and going, I don't know if we can actually win this game or not.
Yeah, they did. They lost their confidence, and I think it looked like Alex Smith was probably checking his phone to see if he was traded by the time the game was over. it was AFC ugly. It was an AFC shit show.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is as well, I mean, it means now that the coach has kept his job. I think he may have gone potentially, but now they've come out and said that he'll definitely be coaching into 2018. The Chiefs, I don't know where they think they're now going to go, because obviously this season's been so up and down with so much promise coming into it. And then having that awful mid-season, as we've just said, about the rest of the season. And then you're back to square one again with a home playoff loss.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. I mean, we talked about how mercurial they were and up and down, and who were the real Chiefs, and Kareem Hunt, was he there to save them? What was Alex Smith going to do? I think they sort of answered a lot of questions. I think it's time to almost rebuild and move on. There just seem to be straggly parts of shit there. There's nothing really going on, and Alex Smith, he'd probably go to the Bills. I mean, that'd be a good fit for him. But I just don't feel that there was anything really attached and worthy of their season there.
No, I mean, I think even if the Chiefs had got past this, you have to think they were no match for the Patriots, despite what we thought coming into this season.
Well, they beat them earlier. I mean, there was confidence earlier in the season of beating the Patriots. You pumped them.
Yeah, but you couldn't fancy that now.
No.
Absolutely not. I mean, the other thing I will say about this game that kind of irritated me, I thought the officiating at times was pretty bad. I know a lot of people have said about that, but it was not a good advert for the NFL.
No, and I think particularly when you've got ratings that just continue to slump, and people really getting pissed off at the refs. You know, just there's so much stoppages, and there's so much whining and whinging, and so much going back and forth. You wonder why people are turning off. You wonder, it's like, oh fuck, not again with the refs. You know, you just sort of, it just takes away the interest of the game sometimes, and the refs are just so much into the game.
And I think that's why, I mean, if the game isn't that exciting, it just means it does drag, and that's how it feels like. And I think for me, both of the AFC games in Wildcard Weekend just felt like they dragged.
Oh, yeah. It was like a proctologist with long fingernails. It was just right up in there. And it was just not... Yeah, there's a few games you're just sort of walking away. I mean, I felt the same way about the Atlanta game. I mean, but Rams just played like shit.
Yeah.
They were just horrible. Like, you know, talking about your first, you know, rookie jitters that you get in playing. Goff looked like he was a high school kid that was playing in this game.
Yeah, and the thing is, for me, I think, you know, Atlanta jumped out to the lead, and we talked about, I think, on last week's show, that I'm sure that a lot of people are going, oh, hang on a second, this could be the one we're gonna let slip away. But I think for the Rams, it kind of showed that this came a bit too soon for them.
Yeah.
They got a bit of playoff experience here. I mean, the Falcons kept Gurley in check as much as possible. We had two very good runs, but apart from that, he really didn't do much, and especially from a receiving point of view, they seems like they were keyed in on him.
Yeah.
Whenever there was a potential for him to maybe get some yardage out of the backfield from the passing route, so you took away the Rams' biggest weapon. Ryan played very, very well, and managed to hang on. And I think they might have put aside some of the ghosts from last season to rest with this one.
Yeah, I mean, I still wasn't totally convinced. It just, as I said, looked like it was such an amateur LA team. They made a lot of mistakes, too many mistakes to make in a game like that. No confidence, no conviction, it looked like. Goff looked like he was just being fed everything to do and wasn't improvising. And you have to, in the playoffs, you're going to have coaches that are preparing and coming at you. As a quarterback, you have to be ready to be on the tippy toes of your feet and the balls of your feet to go back and forth and be able to improvise in the game. And he wasn't doing anything like that.
No, and I think the other thing you're looking at as well is the fact that the Rams rested all of their stars in week 17. I mean, we now take a look at that.
It's almost like a week off. You pretty much had a week off, and you should have been more prepared, whereas Atlanta was just, you know, ready to go.
And I think, you know, Atlanta, you know, can tap into that experience. We talked about this before, like coming down the stretch. We talked about the Patriots and other teams out there. If you're going to rest players, don't sit them out the whole game.
Yeah.
Put them in there, get the job done, and then rest them. So
exactly.
At least they still stay ready and battle-tested for what's ahead of them, especially with an inexperienced team like the Rams.
Yeah.
You want to get more and more experience under their belt, and I think the Rams made a massive mistake.
Yeah, especially with the rookies, because you say you want those butterflies in the player's stomach. You want them to feel like, oh my God, like we're going to play. This is big. We're going to go.
Yeah.
And even if you do take them off for a bit, they get that game jitters. They get into it, and everyone gets that feeling. And they just didn't. It was, you know, for a rookie, for a young coach like McVay to be able to have that sort of, you know, it's, I'm sure he's learned a lot of lessons from that, but it was a very much an unprepared game for them. And it really showed that they weren't able to turn it around. And we have veteran coaching. You know, they're going to make the right decisions and be patient. And something that the Rams just weren't. They were just playing silly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they'll look back on that as maybe a potential missed opportunity in the NFC this year. So going into next season, they'll have to draw on that and learn from it and not do exactly the same thing again. I mean, I felt they were maybe one of the best all-round teams in the NFC this season. So
yeah.
They just need to make a few little tweaks here and there, and they will be a competitive team next year. Because for me, there's a lot of teams in the NFC that are getting a little bit old.
Yeah, they are, and I think you're right about that. The Rams are a youngish team, but again, it's they're going to have to wait till next season. Take some time, but it was a good foray for them, you know, and for a team that, you know, one of the teams that we had coming to London that we just thought, oh, great, another shit show. They turned around, not a bad season, continuing how they started. So, you know, that was good. I mean, the big, the next one was the Sunday game, the Buffalo versus Jacksonville shit show, the Richie Incognito racial show, racial bowl, I guess they call it. Buffalo 3, Jacksonville 10. I mean, the Jacksonville defense does everything. Blake Bortles, even the game where they beat Pittsburgh, when they had five interceptions, he only threw for like 70 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, he's garbage. The Bills played really tough. It was a tough defensive team. I think it was well matched against Jacksonville to have a team that also had equally a tough defense.
Yeah.
But the quarterbacking and, you know, the hit on Tyrod Taylor, you know, Nathan Peterson, Peterman, again, another interception, so he leads. He's like the same amount of interceptions, I think, or more than Tyrod Taylor, but like 400 last attempts or something like that. Just ridiculous.
It was a very poor game to watch. I mean, Jacksonville couldn't move the ball on the ground. They couldn't seem like they could do much in the air. I mean, Bortles, the thing is, I mean, the big key play for the game, I mean, it was tied at 3 each. Fourth and goal at a 1.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to go for a touchdown rather than a field goal. I mean, I think, even if they had taken a chip shot for the field goal, that would probably be enough, because I don't think the Bills would have scored any more points anyway.
No, exactly.
But Bortles still found a way to almost mess that up.
Oh, yeah. No, he threw that heavy and hard, and it was lucky that was a big guy who caught that one. But, he was... I mean, his vision just doesn't seem to be there. When you look at a quarterback who has vision down the field, who can see the receivers, who can see the plays, he doesn't see... He's like a trash can. You know, he just can't even see anything in front of him.
No, I think even if you held a big sign up in the air saying pass to me, he still wouldn't see that.
Yeah.
And
there was a lot of opportunities where he did have sort of missing. But, you know, the Buffalo defense was a solid defense. I mean, when they're playing this weekend, I think the Pittsburgh defense is not as good as Buffalo defense. It was just one of those games where you just sort of go, you know, like the first two games, I just found myself drinking more. I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to really drink my way through this because this game sort of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good one for the insomniacs out there. That one should have probably been put on a bit late in UK time and then just, like, start handing out blankets down at the Hippodrome.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, we had a good crowd. I mean, there's a lot of Buffalo fans there that were just really confused, you know. And I offered to throw them through a table just to sort of wake them up a bit. Because that really seems to be that's like the really stars of the Buffalo game is people who go through tables. I think probably they watch more of that than actually of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it seems they travelled pretty well, didn't they, from what we hear? There was a few incidents down in Jacksonville that weren't...
When they weren't selling them tables, and so the people were bringing their own tables and bringing tables in from out of town and Amazoning tables. You got to love the Buffalo spirit, you know, when you live in a town like Buffalo. You gotta have good spirit.
Yeah, it's cold.
It's cold and it smells like shit. But there's nothing else to do. Let's go to the last game that we did. Carolina 26, New Orleans 31. I actually picked this exact score when I made my picks in one of my pools. I was very happy about this score. But New Orleans, their defense continues to show us new things. Drew Brees is really really putting it together. And this was the game I think we both looked at and thought this would be the best game. And it was. It was the best game.
Yeah, for me, it was the best game. I mean, the Saints couldn't move the ball on the ground. I mean, when you think about that effective tandem they've had all season long, in Kamara and Ingram, they were just shut down.
Oh, yeah, that defense. I mean, the Carolina defense, that front is just an insane front. It's very much Jacksonville-esque.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do much against it. So that meant they had to rely on Brees more so than what they've had done in the past. I mean, this is a different look from the Saints. You know, this is what we had the old Saints of, you know, you'd only go as far as Brees' arm takes them. Mm-hmm. I think for me, there was a lot of missed opportunities, though, from the Panthers. I mean, they're four trips inside the Saints 25, and each time they settled for a field goal attempt before Olsen actually scored their first touchdown.
Yeah.
Lots of missed opportunities there, but it kept the Panthers in the game. I think this is a damning statistic for me, though. Is it the Panthers are 11-31-1 when losing at halftime since 2011? That is awful. I mean,
they need locker room pep talks, I guess. Yeah. That must be really bad. You bring in another guy or something like that to give you a pep talk. Bring in like Tony Robbins.
Yeah, I mean, for this stat that stands out for me is that you're just not coming from behind. I mean, I know maybe the makeup of that team isn't built for coming from behind, maybe, but that has got to stop. If you want to be successful in this league, you've got to have a better all-round game that can attack things like that, because you're not always going to be ahead. I think the Panthers are a very good team. I mean, I kind of felt like that maybe the winner of this one was probably going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl after seeing what had happened to the Rams. But it was the best game of the weekend. I mean, the Saints were 3-0 against the Panthers this season.
Oh, I know. There was it Cam Jordan was sending Cam Newton a bottle of wine, basically. It was his like third time he beat him. It's like, send him some Jordan wines. I saw that on Instagram. I thought that was kind of cute. But yeah, you could see. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, Jesus, what a season this kid has had. I mean, I picked him. He was one of those guys that I wanted in my fantasy pool to start the season, and I got him. And he did really well for me in fantasy. I mean, there was a few weeks in the first season when the start of it, he was sort of up and down. But man, he really put it all together. And what a great play he had, that touchdown. I mean, the kid's got some jets on him.
Yeah, no, that was a phenomenal play. I mean, he's been very, very consistent all season long. I mean, formed a formidable tandem with Cam Newton and really been a massive part of that Carolina offense. As I say, we know what the defense is all about for Carolina, but it's that offense for me that times outside of McCaffrey's a bit up and down.
Yeah, no, and I mean, he's sort of that go-to guy that they're always going to, and you need a little bit to spread the ball a bit more around. And you know, Olsen has been good, but I mean, how soon before he's in the broadcasting booth and off the field?
Well, he might just do what Jay Cutler did and just sit around and wait for
just Miami. Just wait. Well, except being a dick and hanging out. There's no new movies in this. I want new movies in my hotel room. The big announcement, too, they're also going to make this week is the London NFL games. Games that are happening this year. The teams that are happening. There's rumors already that Oakland Raiders or Las Vegas Raiders, since they don't have a home, will be coming here. And that's pretty much a guarantee. Jacksonville, Philadelphia, the Packers, another one people are bantering around. What do you got? Who do you think is going to come?
Well, I think, you know, the initial feeling was the fact that every team that hadn't come over here previously, that's what they were going to try and do in 2018, was get them over here.
It's like you have to do Hard Knocks. You have to go to London. We don't want to go to London.
Yeah, you got to go to London. You got to do Hard Knocks. You got to do this. You got to do that.
You got to play Thursday nights. Yeah. What'd you rather do, Thursday nights or London? I think I'd rather do London.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we're going to end up seeing, a mixture of all of those. I mean, throughout some intriguing matchups that we're going to see. I mean, the Raiders are going to be fun. Obviously, they paid their coach a hell of a lot of money.
Where are they going to get the rest of it?
Yeah, I mean,
are we selling John Gruden bobblehead dolls just to make up for the money?
Yeah, I can still hear Gruden counting the dollars on his desk as he's wading through this roster at the moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's what we're going to try and see. I mean, I'll be surprised if we don't have that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the route they want us to go down, and it'll be an opportunity. I mean, the NFL's been here now 10 years to get every team over here, because, I mean, a lot of people have been crying out, especially for the Packers for some time.
Yeah, no, the Packers fans, and I mean, the UK Packers are very vocal and a great bunch of group of guys that come down to the hippo a lot as well. You know, I think for a lot of Packers fans, you know, it is such an iconic piece of Americana that I think would really do well to have them over here. And I think also it would be really great for the NFL UK. I think people would love to see Favre over here. I think people would love to see people from the past that would love to come. If you can get some of the old, you know, alumni from the Packers to come, that would be great. I don't know what his relationship is like now, but I'd love to see stuff like that.
Well, you could bring over about four of his teams now, because by the time you just went around...
Yeah, now we were the Vikings. You just go, hey, man, do I play on this team? I don't know. Let me see the cheerleaders. Yeah, I played on this one. Yeah. I know you.
Yeah, I want to have my jersey retired across the whole NFL.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's like every year, new jersey retired. So we get to the divisional round coming up this weekend. Obviously, there's four teams who have had a chance to rest. And now, depending on how good they are, let's start off on Saturday. Surprisingly, Atlanta, the Falcons, at the Eagles, Battle of the Birds. Atlanta coming into this, 3-point favorites.
Yep.
You know, and I guess people really, really, Nick Foles is really not getting any love.
No, I mean, when I look at this game, it is the Wentz effect. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't have any confidence in Nick Foles. I mean, if you think about Nick Foles, for me, it's as long as he plays within himself, if you have to rely on those third and long situations, that's where Foles is really going to shoot you in the foot. So again, it's important that the Eagles do maintain that running game. We know how effective that is for them. Mm-hmm. So Atlanta are going to have to try and put a stop to that if they can. On the other side of the ball, again, it's about Atlanta trying to get their running game going. Because the Eagles' pass defense is all kinds of problems for Atlanta, I think.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by the fact that the Falcons are favorites. I do think the Falcons will win this. But again, it wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles don't come out and somehow manage to win this one themselves, because I didn't have the Falcons in this game.
Yeah.
If I had the Rams in this game, I'd be saying the Rams would beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
But the Falcons, it's an interesting one, and I think it will be, for me, who does more damage on the ground. And if you're going to say that, it's got to be Philadelphia.
I'm really impressed with the way that Atlanta handled Gurley last week. And when you start looking at, as you say, Nick Foles getting into trouble when he has to go deep, this is what they're going to want to do, is put him in that position. You know, despite the fact that I'm not a huge Atlanta fan, I find myself really thinking that these guys are going to come out, and if they get the lead, they're going to continue to hold this lead and do some more damage. Matt Ryan is one of those kind of quarterbacks that if he has you in a chokehold, he's going to start throwing punches. And I think that it could be a tight game, but then Atlanta could really start jumping up. They could even jump ahead by 7, you know. And I actually have them winning this comfortably. Because I think, you know, Philadelphia, and they're all talking about how they're getting disrespected. You know, how we're now the Cleveland Browns because no one thinks we're good without Wentz. Yeah, your defense is good. Now, the only way that this is going to win is if the defense can win this for Philadelphia.
Yeah, this is for me. I mean, I think if Philadelphia get ahead, I think Atlanta got problems on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's important, whoever scores that first touchdown is probably going to win this game, because I can't see either team coming from behind. There are issues on both sides. Yeah, we are going to kind of disrespect the Eagles to some extent, because their schedule wasn't great. They lose their starting quarterback, who had a phenomenal season. Yeah, they got an excellent running game. Yes, they got a very good pass defense, but has it been tested? Has it been truly, truly tested? And that's why I felt if they had to go against the Rams would beat them. If they go against the Saints will beat them.
Yeah.
I do, and the Vikings as well. I've been saying all along, I think the Vikings are a better team than the Eagles are. So for me, the Eagles are probably now the worst team in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, they could very well be. And I think the only thing that might be a saving grace for Philadelphia is the fact that Atlanta went from being Atlanta, then going to L.A., then coming back and you're going up to the Northeast. So I think that the travel schedule, and Philadelphia has been practicing in this weather. And, you know, when you're talking, it's been bugger-ass cold in the Northeast for, like, a long time.
Yeah.
It's warming up a little bit, but I think still by this weekend, you're still talking -5, -6. That's a lot when players have been traveling quite a bit. And that's a lot on you when you've got the other team has had 2 weeks to prepare in this weather. You know, it's like Belichick. You know, making these guys go throughout the snow, making them get used to practicing in the snow, tough it up. And that could be a big advantage in this game for them.
You know, if I was Atlanta, I would, and won the toss, I would give this away. I would see if I can try and stuff that Philly run straight away.
Yeah.
And see then and put Foles under pressure. You stop a couple of first Philly runs, because they're obviously going to run on first down, I think, on their first drive. You put input a Foles in like a 3rd and 10, 3rd and 9, something like that, and watch him mess up. And then all of a sudden, you then gain very good field position. So I think, again, even the coin toss here is fine.
Yeah, no, it could. It could. Unless, of course, Foles ends up doing something magical stuff. You're like, shit, that was... We're down 7 already, man. I have this game going... I have it 24-20 for Atlanta.
I have Atlanta winning this in pretty much the same sort of vein. 3 to 4 points.
Yeah.
Neither of us have Philadelphia winning. I think they put it right.
Yeah, okay. And then the next one we've got is the big AFC matchup. And, God, you know what? I love when everyone comes down to the Hippodrome Casino in Leicester Square. But I really love the Patriots fans because they are humble. They are quiet. They're massholes. They really are. And they're from England. You know, they haven't even been to Massachusetts. They haven't been to Boston. They just shout Patriots at you all the time. Look, Patriots are favored by 13 points in this game. It is going to be a snowy, snowy night in Foxborough. 40.5 is the over-under on this one. I mean, Jesus, Tennessee. I mean, what kind of chance do they have?
I mean, I honestly think that might be a bit generous, but I do think, obviously, the Patriots are going to win this game. Derrick Henry must play well for the Titans for them to even stand any sort of chance of keeping this close. And I'm not talking about winning this game, but just even keeping it close.
Yeah.
We know what Brady is. Brady is going to do whatever he does. The Titans' defense could do some things against a Patriots offense, but I think the issue I have is I think because of the weather, because of how much time they're going to spend on the field, I think the Titans defense is just going to get worn out.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the big key for me. And then by the end of the game, it's just going to be, they're going to have no answer whatsoever. I think this could be close for the first half, but I see the Patriots running away with this in the end and winning this by about 10 points.
I could maybe see it being close in the first 5 minutes. If you've got DFS, Gronk, 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 Gronk. Look what Kelce did before he got his head knocked in, which hopefully doesn't happen to Gronk, but they might try to target him because it seems that's the way people were playing that game last week. There's a lot of helmet-to-helmet hits. Yeah. It's getting worse. But Gronk, he is perfectly suited in this matchup. Cutting across, just Gronk in the open, and then just barreling right through. I got New England. I can see them winning by 20 points. I just see this. They are prepared. They've had the time off. Tennessee is going in there. You're not. I don't think anyone's going in there full of confidence going, yes, we're going to beat the Patriots. No. I mean, even people are saying that. They're probably stifling a laugh when they say it. This is just blowout. I've got this one going 35-17 for New England.
Yeah, so I think, as I say, it'll be close for most of the first half, and then New England will run away with it. I mean, the Pats are going to look to take away Mariota's mobility. That's
oh, they're going to shake him up because he's never really played them like this, and Belichick is just going to mess with his head.
Yeah, and I think the minute the Patriots get ahead, I think, again, that's where the issue is because Tennessee just don't have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. But I think they've got enough on defense to keep this one close for a while.
Yeah, I can see a record number of picks from Mariota, too. I think they're going to put a lot of pressure on him. He's one of those guys, when he starts scrambling, he will make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that Patriots defense is going to force it. We then move into Sunday. Now we've got another AFC battle. We have got Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's had a week off. 7.5 points is the line here, which I thought was a little high.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that Pittsburgh, without Shazier, have been playing, their defense has not been the same.
No.
They've had no real control. The whole thing has just gone from being a tight defense to being one that makes a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, I think with this one, if I hear another Jags fan tell me that the last time Roethlisberger played against them, he had like an absolute nightmare. That was like ages ago.
It was ages ago, and Bortles was shit that game too. You know, it was all the defensive game. And you know, Ben even looked like he was going to quit after that game, but he's bounded back. He's Big Ben.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with this game, it's like the way we talked about last week's game, the Jags are going to have to keep this a very, very low-scoring game for them to stand a chance here. You know, Jalen Ramsey will obviously have the responsibility for Antonio Brown by the sounds of it. It just comes down to Bortles. That's the problem. Every week you're talking about it comes down to Bortles, because even if Bortles is even above average, then Jacksonville stand way more chance. I agree with you what you just said earlier on. It's the fact that Steelers' defense isn't as good as the Bills' defense. So Jacksonville should be able to do more on the ground than they could do last week. The Steelers are, for me, a bit of an unknown in this one. And I think there are some question marks I'm not sure you can answer in this game. I think the Steelers may just win this one, but I really think this is going to be close, and I think it's going to be a late field goal that may decide it.
Yeah, I've got this one as a close game as well. I mean, Antonio Brown is back and fully healthy, which will be a good thing for Pittsburgh. But, you know, you're not going to go deep on that team. It's a very difficult team, as he's seen in the past, and a lot of other teams have seen, to try to go deep on them there, and they are ready to pick it. A.B., and if Ben tries to force it to A.B., like he did in that game, you'll have some trouble. But I have this as a field pull. I have this at 27-24, Pittsburgh winning this one. But I think that most of those Jacksonville points that I sort of have is their pick sixes for their defense or their defense doing things, not Bortles. Because he, you know, even same with Buffalo, he was having trouble getting momentum, getting the game going, getting the ball moving. But I have this as a very close game as well, 3 points.
Yeah, that's all I can say. As I said, I think that the spread's wrong in this one. I mean, the Jags must keep this close. They must run the ball well. They must take the ball out of Bortles' hand as much as possible. Again, it's going to be a battle of field position. I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as that. I think it's going to be a little bit further down. I have it somewhere in the reach of a 17-14.
Yeah, it could be. But Pittsburgh at home, so it could be weather depending as well. We go to our final game, the last game, the Sunday night game, which will be out of the Hippodrome at 9:40, I guess. New Orleans at Minnesota. Minnesota 4-point favorites in this game. Zimmer has had all the time in the world to prepare. The case, I guess the real case is going to be whether Case Keenum has been a case study in rookies and fumbles his way through it and can't really get the momentum going, as we've seen a lot of rookie quarterbacks playing in their first playoff game. He seems like he's got his head more in the right place. But, I mean, this will be an interest. This is my favorite one of the weekend. I think I'll be watching.
Again, it is the best game of the weekend, like we had last weekend with the Saints and the Panthers. I mean, there's, you know, that Vikings run defense, again, is just, like, it's stingy. And that doesn't even begin to describe how good that is. I mean, they've given up very little yardage to anyone. So, again, you have to think that the Saints are not going to be able to move the ball on the ground. They're going to have to, again, rely on Breeze and what he can do through the air. Saints defense is going to have its hands full. Again, I have more faith in Case than a lot of people do, but I just think the Saints have got too much experience. And again, I think this is a year too soon for a lot of these Vikings guys in this team. The Saints will win this one, but it is going to be close. And I'm a bit surprised by the spread. But again, it basically is only due to the fact that the Vikings are home, because that's a 3-point edge anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the Saints win this one on the road. I think it's you know, friendly confines, and I think it'll be okay.
It's one of those things. We agree again on this, buddy. I also have the Saints actually winning this game. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think Zimmer is going to prepare but over-prepare. And what you're going to have is someone like Breeze, who is a great adapting quarterback. I could see New Orleans, I could see this almost being like the KC Tennessee game, where the New Orleans goes down quick, you know, that Minnesota sets it up, and then New Orleans rallies and tires out that Minnesota defense. And when they finally start coming back to it, I could see this being a really amazing game right near the end where New Orleans wins it. But again, I have this New Orleans 23, Minnesota 17.
Yeah, I have the Saints winning this by a touchdown. I think that they will be too good. And they will use the pass to set up the run. I mean, you know full well they'll even use Kamara and Ingram as well out of the backfield as receivers. So they'll look at different ways to get those two guys involved. They won't just completely abandon them altogether.
Yeah.
But the Saints have too many weapons. And, you know, the thing we used to say against them in the past is that, you know, they do have a very good running game. They do have now a very good defense. It can be very intimidating, and that could even be too much for Case Keenum as well.
Yeah, no, it'll be a very interesting one. And obviously now there's a lot of coaching moves going on. Nagy being hired by the Bears, the KC offensive guy, and there was a lot of people that were sort of looking towards him. Interesting enough, he said he didn't want to go to Indianapolis because of Luck. That Luck is too injured. I don't know. That's a pretty big outing to say right away, isn't it? You know, in front of everybody.
Yeah, this is it. It's kind of a bit of a bold statement there, but yeah, I must admit, I would probably avoid that job at the moment.
Yeah. Now, here's something. Well, we're talking about the NCAA game. I didn't stay up to watch it because it was just too fucking late. And I, you know, I wasn't that interested. I mean, but then watching the game, it was really good. I mean, I wonder if now with Georgia losing in dramatic fashion, if that mirrors Atlanta in any way, if in a way Atlanta is going to do exactly what, you know, the same way that Georgia did, build up a lead and then lose it right at the end. you know, it was amazing. You know, Saban showing the magic touch, you know, bringing a new quarterback who was just absolutely amazing. What were your thoughts of the game? I watched the highlights.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was an interesting game. I mean, we both felt like it'd be close. You thought it'd be more high scoring. I thought it'd be more low scoring. So kind of like came somewhere in the middle. I mean, I rooted hard against Bama because I'm a Saban hater, unfortunately, through his time at LSU and Miami as well. So, but you can't say anything against the guy. I mean, his credentials speak for themselves. Did, again, another phenomenal job. Of course, it's also sparked a debate around the fact that maybe they shouldn't have even been in the game to start off with.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were there. For me, I thought Georgia beat themselves. Their play calling in the second half, for me, was absolutely baffling. There was also some really awful officiating when you watched that.
Yeah, no, that was something I did notice. Even in the highlights, you could pick up on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really bad. And everything seems like it benefited Bama. I mean,
it's like they got the Patriots referees in there for them.
Alabama is kind of like that. I mean, they deserve to be in there. I mean, I think the interesting debate, of course, that's been sparked on the back end of that is around, obviously, UCF. You know, they go on being through the whole season. They got 4 first place votes. Only them outside of Bama managed to get those. You know, a lot of people felt that they should have been in there. They beat an Auburn team, for me, that looked disinterested in our bowl game. Could they have beaten any of the 4 teams in there? That's, again, it's open for debate. That's a problem.
Well, that's what makes it interesting. That's why this should be a more open process. And it would be interesting to go, okay, well, who would beat them? You know, and there should be one of those bowl games, like, okay, who's the best? You know, and instead of the way it's set up, I wonder if they're going to change it or how they're going to change it for next year, or if they will.
No, I mean, I think, again, people talk about opening this up to 8 teams, but obviously would have let in Ohio State, would have let in, obviously, UCF. Auburn would have probably been there as well. I think a lot of hatred still comes back to the SEC, because for me, if you root for a team in the SEC, you think it's all great. If you're a non-SEC fan, follow somebody else, you absolutely hate the SEC.
Yeah.
It's like the SEC against the world.
It's like the North versus the South, almost, in a way.
Yeah.
Well, they've never done that before.
No, we've never had that before. It doesn't turn out well. I mean, but that's, to me, is what it's like. And Alabama are kind of like the kings of that. Almost like the royalty of the SEC. But I think, you know, no matter what you do to that system, people will still complain that their team isn't there. There is no perfect solution unless you really, really open it up. I think we will look at an 18 playoff at some point, but again, I don't necessarily think that completely solves everything.
No, because then there'll be other teams going in. It's going to be the fairness of it all. But I think, you know, it's got to be more than the SEC at some point. You know, and their dominance will sort of come to an end at some point, you would think. So there's got to be opening up to more teams and more, you know, because you want to be able to have to answer those questions. Well, could they beat them? I don't think they could. I don't think UCF, with a focused team like Alabama, I don't think they could have beat them, or Georgia.
No, I mean, it's difficult to say, because, you know, the strength of schedule obviously doesn't benefit a team like UCF, and that's what I'll take a look at, you know, who they beat. And a lot of people are saying, which is a really ridiculous argument, and I've seen it even from some very prominent sports writers as well, is that because Auburn beat Alabama and UCF beat Auburn, UCF should have been in the big game and are the rightful national champions. It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't even work like way in boxing.
No.
You know?
Just because A beats B and B beats C means that A would
have to. No, it's a tenuous link at best.
It was a fascinating college football season, like it always is. And, you know, one of those Cinderella seasons that it would have been nice if they'd had the opportunity to test themselves against a very, very best.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that doesn't allow it. The whole system has been an issue, even going back prior to the playoff. If people want to talk about things that are wrong with college football, try and go back before the playoff, the BCS and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was even worse then.
Yeah. And you could smoke back then, though. That was good. You could smoke and be a player and have a baby. That was all good. And enough of the people proposing, you know, the players proposing.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you're 22. You got a life, all right? Don't even worry about shackling yourself down yet. You haven't even gotten into life yet. Stop with the proposing. Plus, Alabama's probably his cousin.
There was some sort of tenuous link there.
Yeah,
anyway.
Sister. I think it was his sister. Sister, but also his mom. It was, yeah. Yeah. I won't be in you forever. It's NBA this weekend. It's NBA in town, NBA in London, Philadelphia, and Boston. We don't have tickets. Thanks a lot for... You have a ticket. You're going to go.
Yeah.
I wanted a VIP ticket. I actually wanted to play, and they said no. It's the time where we see... Then bring every British footballer and say, "Would you like basketball?" Or say something in a funny British accent to all the NBA players. And it's supposed to be cute. It's not like they haven't done it every year for the past few years. What are your thoughts on this game? I mean, it's down to the 0-2, which to me is like, might as well be in France.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice arena in a very awful part of London to get back out from.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially at night. If you're trying to get out of there on a Thursday night, Jesus, that Blackwall Tunnel is closed.
It's going to be awful. I mean, but I think this time we actually do have a really interesting game here. You know, an up-and-coming Sixers team against a Celtics team that are overcoming the loss of Gordon Hayward.
Mm-hmm. Quite well, though. They're holding their own, I think.
I think the Sixers are playing... not great at home, but they're playing better on the road, so maybe that will see them coming over here. Joel Embiid has obviously been a social media icon ever since he's gone into the NBA, and even probably before then.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of turned already and said, well, you know, like, come on in, Boston fans, you know, like, really bring it, because I'm going to bring my A game with this one. But if you look at it outside of that, the Celtics have allowed the fewest points in the NBA. They play a very, very good defensive system, very, very good coach. Philadelphia might have some trouble here in this one, and I would firmly expect Boston to win. But I think a lot of people come away from this and I think really enjoy the game. I hope it's not a blowout, because again, people will turn around and say, you know, it wasn't a good game again.
Yeah.
But this is, for me, the best game the NBA have ever brought over here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, from seeing some of the other ones that have been before, you might as well have just brought the Harlem Globetrotters over. Which I think they have. This one, I think this looks good. I think the NBA UK is really doing a good job of expanding, bringing the brand in. I mean, the NBA seems to be, I think, they're more versatile in sort of adapting than the NFL has been. You know, the NFL just seems to sort of blame on its woes, but the NBA seems to be doing some nice moves. This will be good. I think it'll be good for the city of London. It's not as prolific as you have the effect as the NBA, or the NFL, I mean, but... Still should be a good game. I think Boston will beat them in this one. And you think if the only good thing about if there is a blowout, gives you a little ample time to get the tube and get out of there.
The minute this game starts getting out of control, I'm out of there, because it's just going to be an absolute nightmare trying to get back home for me. I think with this one, which is also kind of interesting, is that the NFL, going back to NFL for a minute, they decide they're going to announce the NFL games in London coming season on the same day the NBA have their big game in London.
Yeah, that's sort of a dick move. That's really a dick move. I mean, like, seriously, wait till the day after, you know?
Yeah.
Not just like, hey, we're going to go and disrupt everything. Because it's like they're too... Two leagues should be working together on this thing. You know, you're both... It's not like it's one or the other in London.
No. No, you're trying to both expand the market into London, Europe, and the rest of the world, and yet you've got this announcement that's going to take place on the build-up to the NBA game in this country. I when I found out the announcement was going to be on that day, at that time, I was like, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, is it something... Do you think in a way it was well-intentioned? Do you think in some way they thought, well, it's the only time people are paying attention to North American sports, so if we don't do it now, we'll get lost?
Yeah, but I mean, every single time when they've announced it on Sky Sports or whatever, wherever it's been, you know, everyone takes note. Everyone is glued to it. I mean, it's a Facebook Live event, isn't it? Hosted by Neil Reynolds.
Jesus. Two things right there.
Yeah, combining Facebook, Neil Reynolds on the day of the NBA in town.
Yeah.
For me, I just don't think it was a great move. As I said, it could have been today, it could have been Friday. I mean, as we record this the day before the NBA game, but it doesn't take away from the NBA game, but I just don't think it's the right move. It's going to be fun. I hope everyone has a good time. You know, certainly the fans that go along to the NBA game, and I think that's a bigger issue as well, is the whole ticket inside of this. And a friend of mine texted me last night and said, are you going to the game on Thursday? I was like, well, yeah. And he's like, well, I've looked on the secondary market. I was like, yeah, you don't even bother.
Yeah. The only thing I would say about this, though, is when you're having an evening game, I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, I've got, you know, having kids. This is something to build the market. I think you want games that you can bring kids to. And 8 o'clock, for me, bringing a kid to a game at 8 o'clock is just damn near impossible on a school night.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it, I mean, taking my eldest, he's just started getting into the NBA. I'm just like, even if I could have got a ticket for him, it's too late. I mean, by the time Mr. Secret get out after the game's finished anyway, I would have rather them had this at certainly 7 at the latest. I mean, I know you've got to kind of take into account maybe like people like leaving work and maybe they're heading to get over to the game in their suits. Just in their corporate seats or whatever.
Or just drinking since 5 o'clock.
Yeah. So maybe, again, that should be something to be looked at. I can't remember off the top of my head what time tip-offs were over here when they've had games in the past. The other side of it as well, if you really want to make this work, and I think this is what they did when the Nets and the Raptors came over, which was play the games at the weekend. They had a two-game series.
Yeah.
They had one game on a Saturday, one game on a Sunday. If you want to build the next generation of NBA fans in this country, put the games on a weekend.
Well, I agree. And I think that's exactly what I was going to say that they should do is two games. If they're going to have them over here anyway, why just have them for one?
Yeah.
Or if you're going to do it here, you know, you do one game here, one game in France, one game in Spain, where the sport is actually quite big as well. So, I mean, utilize, you know, or even bring four teams over and do four European cities where you alternate them around. It's like a little European tour. But it should be interesting. The All-Star game coming up, the voting is starting to come out, and no surprises there. Giannis in the lead. But it's weird how they're doing it this year. What is it? So the teams are chosen by the captains?
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of gone down what the NHL first went down and the NFL have as well, is the fact that you have 12 players from each conference, but it's kind of like a playground mentality of you then pick the players.
And just how well they choose which teams they're going to play for. I'm going to play with my friend on that team because he's winning and I want to win.
Yeah, so when Kevin Durant's left there as a 24th player sitting there wondering, you know, what am I going to do? No one wants me. Mm-hmm. Oh, you picked me? No, you've been left with me.
Yes. Yeah.
But I know that Steve Kerr's come out and said, hasn't he, that he actually feels like it should be the 24 best players in the NBA regardless of conference. And I agree with that. If you're going to go this way, then do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And I think the other thing I think that we potentially want to look at that a lot of people have said about, and I think it's an interesting one, is I think we maybe need to move the All-Star weekend. Having it in the middle of the season, I don't think is necessarily now a great idea.
Yeah.
Having it somewhere else, we are losing interest in All-Star events across all the sports, whether it be the Pro Bowl, whether it be the NHL All-Star game, the NBA, Major League Baseball. We don't like them anymore. They're not fun. They're not competitive anymore. You've got to find a way to generate interest in these events. I also would say as well, with the NBA All-Star Weekend, instead of bringing over a regular season game over to London, bring the All-Star Weekend over to London.
Well, that's something to be said, because you said they're not competitive or fun. And I think in an All-Star game, it's got to be either or. You know, because, you know, no one's playing. Like, it's not like you're playing to win, you know, millions for a charity, which I would be interested in. If it's I'm playing for this, I'm trying to raise this, you guys have voted for me, I'm going to raise $10 million for this charity, and that's what I'm playing for.
Yeah.
If I get this many points. The other thing being, make it a fun game, as you say, where it's just only fun. Because there's so much media and so much entertainment and so much stuff that we see on, you know, old sports and all these sports shows that, as you say, it's just not, what is it? And if you're doing it the middle of the season, either do it the start of the season, end of the season, but it's like, then you don't want to become the Pro Bowl. Nobody watches the fucking Pro Bowl.
No.
Nobody wants to see that. And what are you doing in the Pro Bowl? You know, it's figuring out a way to either get rid of these or make them something that I think benefits the community and gives people a chance to watch, because it's almost like a game show. They're doing something for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I was so old school, but the NBA All-Star Weekend has had some great stories in the past. You had the Jordan closeout game. You had the Jordan 40 points at Chicago Stadium. You had Magic Johnson retired coming and playing the 92 All-Star Weekend. You don't have that anymore. And that's the problem. It just isn't competitive. I mean, the Pro Bowl's got its own issue because it's between the championship games and the Super Bowl. That's just ridiculous. Whereas the NBA, I would say put that maybe somewhere in the summer, somewhere could be quite interesting. Because at the moment, players are taking a look at the All-Star Weekend, and it's like an elongated break.
Yeah.
But they're taking a look at it and going, yeah, I'm actually like shattered. I really could actually do it a break, to be honest with you.
Well, because a lot of times they'll do it in the season as a breakup, you know, in baseball. What I also look at when I'm looking at the NCAA one as well is I think that the National College Final would be perfect on the weekend that the Pro Bowl is on.
Yeah.
And that you structure that, you elongate the college bowl playoffs. I mean, I know they've got school and whatever, like they actually go. But if you were to actually stretch out all those bowl games over the weekend instead of jamming them all in, you'd actually get more national exposure. And when you've actually got the, you know, you keep it around the NFL, so it's not actually getting involved in it. But there's enough time that you could play those games in the afternoon, early parts of the day, that you could play those, that you eventually make January football month. And, you know, that, I mean, no one's really watching that Pro Bowl at 8 o'clock, especially internationally. But if you put that college game on, let's say 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday, the ratings will be big, and you're going to watch it internationally as well.
No, I agree. I think the NCAA can be used as appetizers for the NFL at times. I think it'd be, you know, a great advert for football and generates interest and gets some more fans in. You know, people talk about watching football all day. People would watch football all day.
Oh, yeah, they would.
College or NFL, whatever. It doesn't make any difference to them.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I would love to see something like that. There is enough time over weekend to be able to do that. The Pro Bowl is just, to be honest with you, I would go down the real Pro Bowl and just scrap all All-Star events, just get rid of them and just do something like that. I know you have the big build-up to Super Bowls. So it's not like you could put the playoff final again on the same weekend as the Super Bowl. But yeah, you could do it the week before, and then you then lead nicely into the Super Bowl. You've got the stories coming out of college football. You know, these guys are turning pro. You know, all of a sudden you're then, it's almost like a proper journey rather than way it is at the moment. Is that for me, you've got a 2 week break from competitive football, because that's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
For just to have this game that's just a complete waste of time. And I can honestly sit here and say, I have never watched one Pro Bowl in my life.
No, I mean, I've watched them. I mean, it's just a chance for them to go away on vacation with their girlfriends and leave their wives at home to Hawaii. You know, it's like, hey, I'm away, and they're not drug testing here, and I'm a little lit, you know. Look, we're almost out of time, actually, but let's quickly jump on the NHL. You know, they're starting to talk about, I mean, getting halfway through the season already, or more than that. Las Vegas is doing, continues to impress. Gallant has done a great job coaching that team. The Leafs have sort of struggled. You've got some other Canadian teams struggling. You got Tampa Bay just continuing to light it up. Where are we sort of this part of the season, do you think?
I think, you know, for me, if I take a look at one disappointment straight away, is Edmonton. I mean, Edmonton are 18-23-3.
You're talking about the city itself?
Well, the team as well.
Whitehouse, fun to party at, man.
We didn't think this team would have this many offensive issues, and I took a look at this earlier. They are in the lower half of the NHL in power play percentage, shooting percentage, goals scored, their last in penalty kill percentage. I mean, you do everything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you don't score goals. You give them up. You're poor at special teams. Yeah, you're not in the playoffs. And that's the reason why.
Yeah.
McLaren's got to lose his job.
Oh, of course.
I mean, how has he still got his job? I mean, they're coming off the loss last night against Nashville, which, don't get me wrong, going to Nashville is not an easy place to go. It's a very tough arena, very competitive team. But that's not the issue. It's the fact that he's losing time and time again.
Yeah.
And if you take a look, for me, a team that's not in the playoffs right now, I didn't think I'd be saying this as an Avalanche fan, but the Avalanche are playing so well at the minute. I mean, everything since post-Duchesne and post-Stockholm, really.
Yeah.
They won 5 in a row, 7 of 10. They're 1 point short of their season total from last season. McKinnon scoring bunches. Landeskog scored a hat-trick the other night. The only thing they don't seem to do well is their last in face-off percentage. They've got to go out and get a guy that can sort that out. Because, again, you need possession of the puck, and that's where it all starts. I think Colorado are actually going to get a playoff spot, which will be phenomenal, and I think San Jose will drop out. The East will stay as it is, and the Penguins, being the eighth seed at the moment, are a nightmare playoff matchup.
Oh, they're always a nightmare, because they bring it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, that's the experience that they have and bring it in. I mean, we're almost out of time. Let's quickly talk about the World Juniors. Canada wins again! Oh, yeah!
How?
We just grit, and we were outshot, and we were able to find the puck into the net somehow. And then, of course, there was the Swedish guy tossing his silver medal into the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, he got that back.
Yeah, he shouldn't have. That's a classless move.
I completely disagree.
If I did that, my dad would have thrown my ass into the stands. Go get that puck. You bring it back. You're disrespecting the fans. You're disrespecting the game. You're disrespecting your team.
I like the fight in it.
It's not a fight. It's a giving up. It's one thing if it's fight. If you put it in your hand and you punch a guy in the face with it, it's another thing to go, fuck this, I don't want it.
millennials.
Well, because you don't want, but you don't want to be the loser. So that's
no
kind of what you're saying.
That's part of the sport, though.
Yeah, I actually quite like them. I like the move because I think it shows what kind of person he is. That he is a winner. I look at it as like a whiny kid. I don't look at it that way. I think it was tough on Sweden. I thought Sweden coming into this again, they play very, very well in this tournament in the preliminary round. But when it comes to getting the job done in the gold medal game or semifinals, they seem to come up short. They beat America. They use shorthanded goals to be able to do it. They score a shorthanded goal in the final. But for me, when it turned to that third period, even though Sweden had got it back to a tie, I felt like Canada were the only team that were going to win this. Every minute that went past, Canada got more and more into this game. Mm-hmm. They got more shots on net. I was like, this Canada goal is going to come. And then, of course, they get the goal with 100 seconds left. They get the empty net to win it. Canada were not the best team in the tournament. They hadn't got the best player at any position in the tournament. But they found a way to win this, and all credit to your country.
They did, and I think that, you know, it's Canada's that sort of the pressure that we have, that you have enough experience on this team, you have enough guys that have played in big games, particularly in the OHL, to sort of recognize and play it. And, yeah, that guy's a piece of shit, and shouldn't have thrown his medal. Anyway, that's it for us, another episode of Sports and Stripes. Wade and Steven, I'll be around at the Hippodrome this weekend. Make sure you follow us, like us, we're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz. Enjoy and have a great sporting weekend.